you're a survivor? What? Bro, are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.
Hello, everybody! Welcome to the Survivor Buffs, Blindsides and Banter podcast. This is the podcast made by superfans, with superfans, for superfans. I'm your host, Buckles, and with me, I've got my mate, Mac. Mac, how you doing?
Buckles, my man. I'm doing fantastic. What a week of UK Survivor. I think most of the season, we've been a little bit down on it because it seems a little bit basic, a little bit, you know, run-of-the-mill, a bit straightforward. And this week, it just everything spins on a dime. I'd say two of the big three players are out of the game now, and it leaves sort of Chris is like the main big player left. What a week. Twists and turns. Great week of Survivor all round. Fantastic from UK. Very good.
Yeah, definitely. This was awesome. Like, damn, what a week. Like, Survivor UK, welcome to the map. Welcome to Survivor. There was some great gameplay, some right moves, some wrong moves, some manipulation. There was everything in this. There was the Lee Castledon, the Sam Webb saying, how dare you play the game at tribal councils. It had everything. Everything that you want.
Yeah, it really was just like a really two good Survivor episodes, like classic Survivor. You know, not too like new school with advantage and stuff, but more like, yeah, like you said, manipulation, people sort of exerting a bit of power and making just a subtle flip on the numbers just to make things happen. Like Lawrence throwing a vote away, like knowing that Sunuke will go home. Like little things like that where, you know, everyone's sort of thinking, which is great, because we were probably down on the whole cast as a whole in terms of like, do they know the game enough? And whether or not they do is becoming irrelevant because they're working it out on the fly, some of them. And the ones that know it are sort of doing a bit more, like Chris. And it's really making for some good TV. And just to have like the two of the biggest characters of the season, Doug and Tanuke, back to back, it really opens this game wide. Like, really, like they were probably two of the highest winner picks left in the game. And having them both gone, like, where does it go from here? Like, both of us last week were so confident with Tanuke, and like now I have no idea who's going to win.
Like, if you tried to convince me last week that Tanuke wasn't winning this game, I would have fought you tooth and nail. I would have gone crazy over it. I would have, nah, Tanuke's got this. She's got the edit. She's got the position. She's smashing it. I was so wrong. So wrong. It was the biggest shock. At the end of episode 12, before the votes are read, I'm just thinking, holy crap, Survivor UK is making it really look like Tanuke is about to go home. Like, they're doing a really good job of this. I don't think she's going home. And then she does. And it's just like, I was gobsmacked. I was gobsmacked. I could not hold in my pleasure that I was enjoying of this game.
Nah, for sure. That really shocked me because I'm like, oh, Matt, why would Matt flip? He's in such a good spot. He's in a majority. He's going to the final three. Like, that's been confirmed. Like, why would he flip? And it's like, why did he flip? Like, I don't know if this is great for Matt. I'm thinking this is a bad idea. Like, what are your thoughts? Do you think it was a good idea for Matt or not?
Look, I'll reference the one bit. I do want to bring up. So when Chris, Lawrence, and Matt go to the reward, the pizza reward, and Chris starts his pitch. He's obviously already put in some subtle moves, but he really starts his pitch. He goes full throttle at these two. And he says, I see the hierarchy, okay? So I'm seeing the hierarchy and we've got Nathan and Tanuke on top. That, I think, is unquestionable, okay? I think Tanuke was more with Nathan than she was with Matthew, but she was definitely a lot with Matthew. Then he brings up that Leilani's then next and Matthew and Lawrence are on the outside. Lawrence, completely agree. Outside, so far on the outside that Tanuke is telling him at the 11th hour to vote out Doug, so then he doesn't fuck up the vote for him.
Yeah.
But Matthew, he was in that three. I think Leilani's just been this tag-along person for Tanuke, and she's just attached to the hip, does whatever she says, perfect ally to have, perfect ally to drop at the end, if needed. Matthew was in that three. Tanuke, Nathan, Matthew. However, the one thing I do think is Tanuke's very smart. She obviously saw Doug was the person that was able to rally the Lenners. I do believe in the future she would see that Matthew is the person that could rally whoever was left. Matthew has a very good social game. He's in with everyone. Or he was in with everyone till this week.
Yeah.
So I think it was a stupid move for Matthew. However, in a other dimension, I think Tanuka is smart enough that Matthew has a good case to win the game, and I don't see her taking him to the end.
Yeah, I honestly think she would have taken him to the end with Nathan and Matt, like she said, because I think she knows that she is probably like the queen bee, they call her, like the one that would win the game in that final three. So I think for Matthew, it's best to not go to the end with Tanuka. I don't think she needed to go now for his game, but I think ultimately for him to win the game, he needed to do something. So I guess, yeah, Tanuka needs to go at some stage. He's taking the gamble now. He's still in a pretty good spot. He's sort of with everyone. At least he has a relationship now. He's worked with everyone. So it's going to be really interesting to see how he comes back from this vote. Is he now locked in with Chris? Is he going to jump back to Nathan and Leilani and like that four can run the game? Or, you know, where does he go? That's the thing. So I don't think it was a horrible move. I just think it was maybe a bit early.
I'm going to bounce back on you there because as we just discussed, was this the right move for Matthew and was he actually in that final three alliance with Tanuka and Nathan? Then I think that, so he's definitely making it to the final three. If it's a final three or a final two, he's got a good chance or he wins an immunity, blah, blah, blah. However, I think we do have to change the argument. Does he win against Tanuka? And the answer is, from our observation, no. So, I actually am now starting to think this is the right move for Matthew. And here's why. I'm crunching the numbers. He's never getting Leilani on his side over Tanuka. Leilani is completely in Tanuka's pocket. He's not getting Nathan on his side over Tanuka. That gives Tanuka three. Okay? Yeah. Which means the only other chance he has this move is the final seven.
Yes.
He's cut Christopher in this case, which means that you've got Hannah Pegleg possibly not trusting him because he's cut them or he's gotten their hopes up. So they're not trusting him and they maybe swing it and go for him. And not to mention Lawrence, you can see how Lawrence is playing the game, doing the whole coach, throw a random vote out and hope that people think that I didn't have any part in this.
Heroes versus villains.
You're a little, that little man. Oh, fuck, I wish we got some of that content. That would have been awesome. And like throwing Tanuka a little wedge at the end, like, oh, your name is being brought up, just to make her overly paranoid when everything's working out. I'm not sure if he would have got it together at the final seven. I think is it Tony or someone does say, you want to make the move now because you might not be able to make it later. His only other option to make this move was the final seven. That's next tribal. So you might as well just make it at the final eight and then deal with the consequences.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Like, I'm thinking if they go down to the Calaton five, I'd say like Matt and Lawrence one side, Nathan and Tanuka one side, and Leilani's that swing, and I don't think Leilani's going to flip on Tanuka. So you're probably right. The only vote is seven, and without Chris there as like a leader, focal point to rally these numbers, the old Lenenas, like, is it going to happen? Yeah. Probably not. I think you're right. So, yeah, I guess it was now or never. The question is, like, if it never happened, does Matt have a chance to win? And I probably not. But he guarantees his spot there, which, you know, ultimately, obviously, they're all trying to win, but I'm not sure, you know, I think some of them are just happy to go for the ride. So I'm glad that he did it because he's opened the game up. And in terms of like a TV product, this really makes this game a lot more fun and exciting. But I'm not 100% sure if it was great for Matt or not.
Look, this is still season one of UK Survival. Okay. Bitter juries are going to be a thing. Lee's unhappy with obviously Chris, and he was unhappy with Ashley. Doug, I don't see Doug being overly bitter. I think Doug will vote properly. Ashley could be a little bit bitter. Matthew gets to the end. He does have a very good social game. If he doesn't cut people and get their hopes up too much, he does have a good social game. Who knows? there might have been a bit of jury against Tanuke, and Matthew's probably the more lovable next pick. I don't see Nathan winning this. Nathan is, like, you can see Nathan, as soon as he gets a little bit of power, he wields it over people like, how dare you lie and play the game? Fucking Sam Webb. Fucking Castle Dye. Yeah. That's all I was thinking. Bloody Nathan.
Too much attention.
I've turned off Nathan. I'm completely off him. But so I think this is a lot of theories. Was this the right move for Matthew? It's almost 50-50 in my mind, because he did have the option at the final seven, so he could have pushed it back a little bit. There were still outs, I believe, for him to win the game. Because of how unhappy a lot of Lenena would have been with Tanuke. And, like, Tanuke, even, like, I'm not sure what Tanuke was like on the beach, but you saw her, as soon as she heard a name, she goes up to Hannah and Pegleg and threatens, like, oh, if you guys have brought my name down, I'm going to have to change the vote, and, like, yeah. Threatens them with that. So she's getting that almost that godmother end, that, like Nathan, the power's almost going to a head. Like, I'm dominating this game. That doesn't get respected. The people at the bottom don't enjoy that. Matthew did possibly have an out.
Yeah, no, definitely. You could see that Tanuke was getting a little bit more sassy in her confessionals, just the way she was talking to people. A lot of honeys, a lot of baby, even, like, to the camera. And you could see that the confidence was really growing inside of her. And, whether it rubs people the wrong way or not, I'm not sure. You talk about a bit of jury. So let's talk about that. Do you think Lawrence's plan to not vote for Tanuke, to throw away his vote, to say, you know what, I didn't vote for you, even though you know about the plan, is that enough of like a escape clause? Like, oh, I knew about it, but I didn't go through with it. But I made it happen because I didn't vote. I didn't vote to counteract it. Does this actually work? Does someone that, let's say Tanuke doesn't know the game that well, will she respect that and vote for him at the end if he's there? Or is this like a, you just screwed me and you didn't want to admit, you didn't want to accept responsibility? Do you think it will pay off for him?
Lawrence, you are a very little man. You are a little man. You are a little man. No, I don't think it'll pay off. I don't think it's a bad thing. Tanuke's now out. He has that sort of... if he can swing it well with Nathan and Leilani, he's got two people that have nowhere to go. So that's two options for him. That's two friends. Matthew probably cops a lot more of the heat. In the game, it probably works. It probably gets away with it. I don't know how he explains it for Pegleg instead of Chris, like whether he says confusion or whatever he says there.
Yeah, interesting.
But in the game, it genuinely could work. Outside of the game, for Tanuke, it doesn't work. At Final Tribal, Lawrence makes it to Final Tribal. Tanuke asks the question, did you know about my blind side? Even though you didn't vote for me, he says yes. He'll get less respect because it's not his move. He was copping out. It's a cop out. You're a little man, Lawrence. You're a little man.
Yeah, interesting. You think that I guess not voting for Tanuke can still get him in the good graces of Nathan and Leilani. Hard to see how that conversation is going to go, but I guess he does have that out of like, oh, I didn't know about it. Someone told me Peg. Maybe there's an idol. I just threw it there just in case. He can play dumb. I don't know if he has the chops to do that, but yeah, he doesn't cut off that relationship he has with those two. So it sort of leaves him a bit more fluid with everyone, I suppose, at this point. And interesting to see where he goes, because he's had an interesting game so far. A little bit of a not really knowing what's going on, but you know, he's still there. He's made a bit of a move now, and you know, can he make it to the end? I can definitely see that happening.
No, he can definitely make it to the end. And if anything, I almost see him in a very good position to make it to the end. And this, other than obviously the Lenennas that were just going to be picked off one by one, Lawrence, this was the right move for Lawrence, okay? And if he knew the game, he would have put his stamp on this move. He would have really, like, pushed himself forward. Yeah. This is the best thing that could have happened for him. It breaks up that Calaton alliance. It puts Nathan and Leilani on one side. It puts Matthew on the other side. He's got the Lenennas that have cracks coming out the wazoo anyway. Let's be serious. Like, how long do we think Pegleg and Hunter are going to be still happy having Chris around? So I think this was the right move. Tanuke was the brains of the operation. It was she was definitely very good at this game. It is this is the best for Lawrence. How he played it, who knows? But he seriously, I'm seeing him almost make it to the end. He's almost a bit of a floater that just might just pop up at the end.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I think he was sort of like fifth in the Calton five. He was like the bottom of the barrel. So this sort of elevates him now to he's now seventh at worst. But who's coming for him? Like, well, who's targeting Lawrence next? Like, Chris is still the biggest target. Matthew now maybe has elevated himself in the threat level. But like, wow, definitely like it depends where the numbers sit. And if it is like the three Lenanas plus Matthew and Lawrence, well, Nathan and Leilani go next. And Lawrence is now fifth at worst anyway. And he's sort of maybe going to find his way to the end. I think I really can see that happening. Yeah, I think he's in a good spot. He's playing a decent game, I guess. Like, he has a case.
Yeah, I think he's playing a decent game for someone that's never watched this game before. I am enjoying it. I'm liking his sort of views on it. Even how he's talking to people, like, oh, there's so little people, we can't really get a hierarchy here. Like it's smart. He thinks about what he says. He goes to Tanuke. He thinks he's got an out there. Probably not the smartest thing, but he is not respected. Okay, Lawrence, in my mind, is not winning this game. Even if, I do believe he has a chance to get to the end. I don't see him winning this game. He's not respected. You don't want to give, I don't know, me personally, I don't really want to give someone that's rich more money.
Is he rich? Is he rich?
He's from Cambridge. Haven't you? I don't know many people that have that many horses. But anyway, it goes to Cambridge. Like the guy's not short of a quid.
Right, the accent makes him rich. The way he speaks, definitely rich.
Isn't that how it works over there? I'm pretty sure it is. So, yeah.
It's a status.
I'm pretty sure that's genuine. I genuinely think that's the way it is. I don't think people want to give it to someone like that. Not to mention, I'm not seeing any part of this game that's respected. And tonight's vote out of Tanuke is not going to be respected, even though he thinks it might be. And that's just his immaturity in the game. Lawrence comes back, I think he kills it. I think he absolutely kills it a second time. But this time he's not going to get it.
Yeah, look, yeah. It'll be interesting to see where it goes. I think he's a chance, but if he's in the final three or even two with the right person, like a Leilani next to him or a Hannah, even a Peg, like, I think he's got a very good shot.
Yeah. I think Peg and Hannah, unfortunately, I do believe there's going to be a lot of likability at the end of this game. I think this is going to... It's still the first season. It's still about who you actually like more than who you played the best game as much. And yeah. Lawrence hasn't played a good enough game to make up. So, like, Richard Hatch, season one, wasn't liked, but played a good enough game and went to the end with a player that was also unliked. They got enough game that it swayed the votes in his favour. Well, even though, in theory, he won by luck. But anyway, that's beside the point. Then we've got season one of Australian Survivor. Okay. Lee's liked, but then hated by the end of it. And Christy played a good enough game to sway it. Lawrence isn't liked overly. Like, he's tolerated. He's not really liked. And he doesn't have the gameplay behind it to sway that jury as a bit. Okay, if he makes some big moves,
well, sweet. That's the thing. There's time in the game.
UK Survivor, there's time in the game, but he's not. Everyone's talking to him. He's not talking to anyone.
No, that's exactly right. He's been used as a pawn at the moment by Chris, Matt, Nathan, whoever wants him, and he's up for grabs. Which is it's an interesting spot to be in, but it probably doesn't get your respect because if you're the ones jumping around, people probably get angry at that. So I can understand that.
Talking about being used as a pawn, I think Tanuke, it just popped into my head. Tanuke had this very good chance to use him as her pawn. And that was at the pole challenge in episode 11, where she wins immunity. It's her and Lawrence at the end. She's already talked to us about how the Doug vote, they needed to beat Doug and Chris. She's feeling very, very safe here. Like, we're not hearing anyone bringing up her name at this moment. Even yeah. Chris, he's just like, he's saying the hierarchy is not saying to 2K specifically. 2K had the option to give Lawrence that immunity, and this could have very much changed this week in the game. Lawrence was there. He worked hard. Tanuki was there. She had it comfortably. She was in quite a comfortable position. Giving Lawrence that immunity there could have definitely given that social capital with him that she might have been able to use him as a pawn in this next vote. So I think she missed a chance there. But at the same time, you do, like, you want to win immunity when you can.
Yeah, look, I think that's a bit of a stretch. Like, who's giving up immunity just for someone in your alliance to feel better? Like, Lawrence was in the alliance firmly. Like, they've been together from day one. I don't think it's necessary for her to give him that to cement that friendship and that loyalty. I think he already had it. And I mean, obviously,
He had it to the Calatons because he came from their original. He didn't have it to them. He was about to vote out Nathan. Okay, Nathan's got no respect for him. Tanuki knows this. Lawrence is well and truly on the outs of that. She could have brought him in with her and her only, giving her numbers at the end if she needed to destroy Calaton, if Calaton, the final five Calaton got there. If she needed to get a Nathan out because he was looking too good, if she needed to get a Matthew out because he was looking too good. It was just a little bit of an opportunity missed. Still not sure if it was the best move, and giving up immunity was right for it. But yeah, a little bit of an opportunity.
Yeah, it's hard to blame her. Like, she's tight with Nathan. She's got, like, her Nathan and Matt were three. Leilani's also tight with just her. We see Hannah and Tanuki getting tight. Like, you can't befriend everyone to that point. Like, it's impossible to be, like, best friends with everyone. She had, like, a good insulation barrier around her. And unfortunately, one person on the inside of that has flipped it and made the game, you know, broken it wide open. So, yeah, like, giving up immunity is a very far-fetched idea, which was never going to happen, let's be honest. Come on.
Okay. Well, that could be something.
I like your thinking. No.
Thinking outside the box, but it might be.
Yeah, it's way outside the box.
Okay, well, now we're on challenges. Let's talk about it. Have we seen this Pegs on the Wall challenge?
Yeah, I love this challenge. I couldn't remember where we'd seen it before. Has America done this, or is it only Australia? Because I remember seeing it a few times, but I love this challenge. I think it's great.
We've definitely seen this before. Jericho votes Tessa off the jury in 2017 in Australian Survivor. That's the last time I remember it in Australian Survivor, and I've definitely seen this more than once, so it is somewhere else. I just can't remember where. I'm guessing US Survivor did it a long, long time ago.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just a lot of fun. It's fun to just see people hanging in the air and, like, climbing over the top of each other. It's like, what's that game, Twister, where you're on the ground doing the same thing? Yeah. It's a bit like that.
Yeah.
And it's, like, in the air. It just makes it fun. It's good to watch. I enjoyed it. And it's funny that, like, they're making, like, legit mistakes rather than, like, falling off or pulling out the wrong pegs. It's like, maybe just look at it. There's no time limit. Just take your time. Get it right. But too eager, I suppose. And I thought Lawrence and Peg were funny.
Peg was pissed that Lawrence got picked to go to the reward.
Yeah. Peg's like, I was enjoying that. And Lawrence was like, oh, so was I. Yeah, until you stuffed it up, dickhead.
And then Tanuki takes the odd or the even number out instead of Nathan.
Yeah, yeah.
And stuffs their chances. Yeah. No, it was great. I really enjoyed that challenge. Seriously, the challenges of this season, I think it's because we're back to that basic gameplay that I'm really getting into the challenges. And even the rewatch, I'm sometimes watching the challenges, or at least parts of the challenges.
No, you're not.
Okay, I did it today, but in the past I have.
Yeah, okay. Wow, you are desperate.
No, they're good challenges. These are challenges that I want to compete in.
No, that's fair. I would love to do that Peg one. I think it's great, yeah.
A lot of people, especially in Australian Survivor, started watching Survivor because of the challenges. And they didn't understand the social strategy behind it. And then those super fans have now developed to only like the social strategy and not care about the challenges. The challenges are just time wasted on the episode. I still respect the challenges, and there's still strategy with the challenges. Individual immunity can be an amazing thing. So yeah. I think the challenges need a little bit of a tip of the hat, and I think UK is doing them very, very well, and they're picking some of the most brilliant ones from Australian Survivor and the other franchises.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The challenges, especially for younger people like kids and that, it gets you watching the show. And once you start watching it, it subconsciously you'll take in the strategy and understand the game more and understand what's a good move, what's a bad move. So it's just a way in for anyone because the challenge is, you know, it's basic, like this is what you have to do and just do it to the best of your ability. So once people are in watching, yeah, it seeps into their brain of what Survivor really is. And we can enjoy every part of the game. Like, it is a part of the game. It is a big part of the game, being immune and winning that. But, yeah, they've been good. They've been very Australian challenges, like very similar to Australian Survivor, which I do like because I do think we probably do challenges better than the US. So something they've taken, yeah, which is a positive.
Okay. Nathan, let's get back to the first episode because let's be serious. This is a huge episode in itself, and we've been so focused on Snooker, we've forgotten about poor Doug. Doug, one of the biggest players on this season, well and truly, yeah, one of the biggest. I think straight away this is the right move for Snooker. If anything, I want to give Snooker sort of props for thinking that far ahead for someone that doesn't know this game. She's thinking very, very smart. Doug is the person that can get everyone together. Looking at the second episode, you sort of wonder, was that the right move or not? Because having Chris out might have kept everyone sort of not realizing that anything was an issue. Not realizing that this war has started. This, not war, but this... Old tribal divide.
Yeah, I guess you started the quote unquote war early, but like at the end of the day, was this a good move? I'm not so sure because if she just gets Chris out, there's definitely less chaos in the next episode, and she's probably still there. Like, I'm not sure if Doug's getting Matthew to swing because I think Matthew and Chris had the connection because they actually spent time on the same tribe together, whereas Doug and Matt hadn't really met at this point up until merge. Look, I think it is very, you know, it's taking initiative. It's doing something with the numbers that you have. You're going over the top of another plan. But at the same time, you're probably losing a bit of trust in Hannah and Peg. So you're losing that. Doug obviously was a huge threat, super likable guy. He's had an idol. He could win an immunity. Like, he needs to be taken out. But in doing so, you're cutting off some options. Although Peg and Hannah were still keen to work with her. Well, so they told her. But, yeah, I think we've seen – it feels like a bit of deja vu. Like, we've seen this a few times in the last few weeks where in US Survivor, you know, Jake's this target, pretty much like Chris, you know, doing stuff on the bottom. And they're just sort of – the re-before are using their numbers, going over the top and voting someone else out. So it was very reminiscent of that for me. I got shades of US Survivor.
Yeah, definitely. In US Survivor, it's not as you don't get offended by it as much because obviously they're a lot further away from the personal division, and people like Hannah and Pegleg are going to take this personally. But they're going to take it personally now or later. They're not going to like you whether you do this now or later. I loved what you said there. Keeping Chris around was probably not the smartest idea because, like, we've heard in confessionals, Matthew likes Chris. Matthew likes Chris. He's brought that up a few times in the last few weeks. And he said it in that episode there. So Chris does have that connection with Matthew. Now, seriously, Doug, he was the biggest gamer there other than Chris. And Chris was drawing dead. He had no one. No one would want to work with him. No one was there. The theory is this is the right move. Get out the big cheese on the other side. You've got a whole lot of floaters that don't want to work with each other. But you've pretty much, by getting out that biggest player, you've caused a common enemy, and that enemy is Tanuke, is the big cheese on the other side. Now, you take out Chris, okay? The camp is kumbaya the next day. And then you can take Doug out and really force that tribal alliance. Up until this point, you've made it feel, and everyone's answered Joel like, oh, these lines are fluid. These, it's not old tribal lines anymore. You take out Chris, get him on the jury. You can take out Doug next time. The theory is that Tanuke got out the big person, the biggest threat to get everyone together. Well, there were two big threats to get everyone together, and she failed to see that. She didn't realize, I guess, how big of a connection Chris and Matthew had.
Yeah, that's the thing. To me, like I can sit on both sides of the fence in this one because I do think keeping Chris in is not a bad option, only because when there's like one person who elevates themselves as this massive threat and everyone's against them, like literally the whole tribe is against Chris, they're trying to get him out. You have a common enemy you can like unite behind, you know. So like, the longer they stay in the game, the better it is because the target's always on them and not on you. And yeah. So that's like one side of it. But yeah, the other side is he's the one that is doing the most. That if something eventually sticks to the wall, and he, like he did with Matt, then you might bear the brunt of that. So look, there is two sides to the coin. Ultimately, it's. Results orientated. You have to say the bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say because I can't say it's a bad move because it points you in all the directions of a good survivor move, but then it doesn't work. I think this is very situational. In theory, it's a great move. In practicality on this season and the players that were involved in this, it was a great move. And we got to remember, look, Peg and Hannah have swayed. As soon as they lose Doug, Doug is their leader. Doug is the person that they go to. And so they're swayed straight away. So there's two numbers. Whether you got Chris. Chris is literally, as you said, throwing shit against the wall, hoping something sticks. He uses his extra vote completely. Fails. He tries the fake idol, completely fails. He's throwing everything at the wall and hoping something sticks, which is exactly what we want in a survivor player. That's why we're really enjoying Christopher on our screens. And finally something sticked. And that's why Tanuke went home.
Yeah, just with that shitty throwing, it's, well, what is this fake idol plan? Like, was this one of the dumbest things you've seen? Like, why tell Doug, why tell anyone you're going to get a fake idol? Because information leaks. And then Doug went straight to Calaton and said, hey, he's going to show you a fake idol. Like, do the fake idol. I think that's a good idea. I think, flashing something that, a bit of bluffing, good idea. Yeah. You might get the votes off you, but why would you tell anybody? Because, Doug knows that it might bounce on him, so he's trying to save himself. There's no...
Exactly.
There's no advantage for Doug to not tell them. I just thought it was horrible.
Yeah. That actually makes me so angry at Doug because we literally get a confessional from Doug where he is literally telling us Calaton's best move is him if Chris isn't there. So Doug's literally realizing in that moment that he's probably the next to go. If Chris has an idol, he's going to get targeted because he's the biggest threat. Yeah. And yet he does nothing about it. He does nothing about it. That's what really annoyed me about that episode is that he literally tells us the smartest Calaton plan. He is the smartest Calaton plan and he does nothing towards it. He just lets Chris go. He doesn't think to maybe use that fake idol in a different way or something like that. He just goes straight to the Calatons and is like, yep, Chris has got a fake idol. He's bluffing it. He doesn't have one. And in turn, gets voted out.
Well, I actually thought what he did was fine because if they think Chris has a fake holder, they might put a vote somewhere else. But if you say, hey, he's going to show you a fake holder right now, do not trust it, still vote for Chris, that is the right plan, assuming that they were voting for Chris, which is what Doug thinks. So I think telling them what's the right idea because it gets rid of any doubt in their mind.
Yeah. I agree that it's the right idea for him to save himself. Thinking that Chris is going home, I do want to ask: does Doug have an out here? Okay, even if like we got Chris with a fake immunity idol that let's say he's only told Doug about. Okay, does Doug have an out to get this over the Calatons? Because he's realised it in confessionals, he's realised that. Like, he's a big threat and the Calatons are probably going for him next. Does he have an out to actually manipulate this five old Lenenas into... Well, there's four old Lenenas into... And the extra vote into beating Calaton. Because He might not even have an out, and that might be why he's just going down this route of just voting Chris out.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There was no one on the Calaton tribe at the time willing to flip. And then was it Chris tried to go and said, let's get the four and the landers together and the extra vote, and we're going to tie it up. And it's like, what are you going to do? Are you going to get 5-5? Like, are you going to get a rocks at this point? Who wants that? Like, what's the benefit of Peg and Hannah and everyone? Like, why would they do that?
Going to rocks for Chris, yeah. Going to rocks for
exactly.
Chris.
Exactly. So, look, it's in a really hard spot. You just sort of... I guess if you throw an oil out there, maybe Calaton says, let's split a vote. And if you get a split vote, then the numbers are smaller and maybe you can come over the top. But, like, that's a little bit far-fetched. I don't think he had much else he could have done.
You were right. This was the right move to tell Calaton straight away about the idol, because that put him in the best position to not get voted out, even though he ends up getting voted out anyway. I want to ask you, do you think Doug's downfall is because Peg Leg is such a close alliance partner?
That's interesting, because I guess they're probably seen as a strong pair. Like, they did the mutiny together, and they have been together the whole game. Look, I guess potentially, yeah, like, yeah, I guess, yeah, because yeah, any Peg...
I'll throw some more information at you, and I think it's Peg Leg's gameplay and his revenge and personal gameplay that's actually the demise of Doug. It's going after Shy, making the wrong move there, instead of getting Nathan out, just because Peg Leg wanted to get Shy out, he had to get Shy out, he went there to get Shy out, very personal. And then in this situation, going for Chris and not even looking for another out is the revenge, because Peg Leg probably would never have been swayed. Peg Leg wanted Chris out. He had to get Chris out. And Doug didn't even really get the option to start looking for other outs because he didn't have the pieces to play with. Peg Leg was so orientated on Chris that Doug didn't even have the pieces to play with, even if there was a chance that he could have worked something out this vote.
Yeah, I guess, yeah, that's the thing. Like, if your best ally is on a vendetta against people, then you... What choice do you have but go along with them? So wasn't really many numbers for Doug. Maybe the only ad he had was to go look for the idol. Like, it got played last Tribal Council. Like, go find it. Like, it's out there somewhere. Just search until you can't find it again. But even then, would he have played it? Probably not, because I think it was a great blindside. Like, I honestly think it was pretty well done, and it was unexpected for Doug at the time. So, yeah, like, he would have gone home with an oil if he had one. So I just don't think there was much he could do to prevent this. He was just too big a threat at the end of the day.
Yeah, he was too big a threat, and he was blind to the option that there were people smarter than he was.
Well, I don't know if that's the case. Like, even if he knows they're smarter, which, you know, they've shown, Tanuka has shown to have smarts, as of Chris and others. Like, there's sometimes just nothing you can do. You don't have any numbers with you. The Calatons are so loyal at that time, like, there's no case to pitch to anyone. Like, sometimes you just get voted out, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah. That is, I think, yeah. I respect that. All right, cool. Another thing I wanted to just bring up, I loved Christopher's comment, and we've heard this comment in other franchises in the past. There's some people that this is just a holiday. They go to the challenge and they come back, they lay in camp, then they lay in the they lay on the beach. They lay in the shelter and then they go back to a challenge. And it's just like a holiday to them. And obviously aims this at Nathan and Tanuke, who Nathan obviously fires back and says, oh, I'm just playing this very different to you, and that's why I'm in the position that I'm in. Well, suck it, Nathan, you're not anymore. But I very much loved that comment. And we definitely see that. Like, when you have the power, don't look like you got the power. Don't lord it over people. And that is definitely part of the reason why Tanuke and Nathan are in the positions they are, one on the jury and one at the bottom.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, if you're in this pivotal tribal council where you think maybe this is the time where it might flip my way, do you really want to start ruffling feathers and maybe putting off, like, Matt, who might be joining your side? Like, you say this stuff to him and to everyone. Like, I'm not sure this is a great strategy to bring it up at this tribal council. Like, you want to seem, okay, on one hand, yeah, Chris looks like more of a dick and he loses jury votes, perhaps, if you're Matt, that's what you're thinking. But on the other hand, if you're Matt, you're like, do I want to go hang out with this guy? He might throw me under the bus as soon as I do something wrong. Like, I don't want that.
Yeah. I definitely see that.
Like, it's two ways.
I'm getting more and more off Matthew's move being right and Tanuki's move being right the longer this podcast goes on.
Yeah.
I really am. Yeah. It's really interesting to think about. Well, let's talk. What do we think? Is this going to be a final three, final two?
Well, it's hard to say. I mean, at the moment, it could be a final three with an 8-man jury or a final two with a 9-man jury. So it could go either way. I guess, yeah, it's probably closer to Australian Survivor, which traditionally, I guess, has been two, but lately it's been three. So yeah.
It's been three for how many seasons now?
Only two seasons.
So, and we definitely have producers from Australia in this Survivor UK production. So, yeah.
I'd like to see final two.
It could go either way. Yeah, I'd love to see final two.
I hate final two.
We haven't seen final two. We haven't seen final two in what? Since Brains versus Brawn?
Yeah,
When was that? That was 2021? Yeah. So we haven't seen it in over 2 years.
Oh, yeah, South Africa as well. That was two, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah, true. No, you're right. Fuck. We haven't seen it since Return of the Outcast. Yeah, let's go.
It's just so much better having it two, I just think. I don't care if it's like a landslide. I'd rather just see two people pitching it out because when there's three, there's always one person who, like, no one respects. In this case, probably Leilani, who will get no votes. Like, I don't want to see that. I'd rather have two people just going at it and maybe throwing each other under the bus. But when you get three, I think there's less of that going on. And I don't know, it's just not as fun.
It isn't just as fun. And we love this personal content. This is why Survivor lasted so long, was because of the Richard Hatch, Kelly, the snake and the rat. This is like this sort of like Wigglesworth. This is why this personal two people, some people are for one person, some people are for the other, get into them and rip them a new one. This is what we want. So this is what we want to see. Now, I've just got quick numbers, just done them quickly in my head. So next episode, we go down to 6. Episode 14, we go down to 5. Episode 15, we go down to 4. So we go into the finale with 4 people. So it could go either way. Obviously, this sort of following the Australian franchise quite a lot in its structure and some of its twists and challenges, especially. Australian Survivor goes into its finale, does the final challenge, and then goes into the final tribal, vote someone off, final tribal count, and then final tribal council. So we could still, it is looking to me like a final three. But I would love a final two if that comes up.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing we need to pray for is jury questions rather than jury discussion. I want individual questions.
That's it.
I want Lee in front of someone ripping them a new one. I want Chris up there. I want some interesting conversation. So hopefully.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 45, where is the strategy in Survivor UK compared to American Survivor?
Well, that's an interesting question because it has changed a lot in the last week. It's evolving in front of our eyes. So you've got to think, you know, we started at season one this season. It started right at the front, right at the start. And then we've seen this game evolve over 23 years, whereas these guys are doing it week to week. So I think it's come leaps and bounds since the start. I think we're probably sitting at around, it's probably like around I don't know, like a 12 or something, 12 or 13 season, maybe.
So Panama?
Yeah, something around there where not a heap of idols, not a heap of advantages, but just enough to make the game a little bit more interesting. Now people are starting to jump sides a little bit, so there's a little bit going on, but there's not huge swings week to week.
Yeah, like Cook Islands, the Panama flip. Where Yul forces Penna's hand and forces him to flip.
Then, like one big flip in the season, perhaps, and then they sort of just go from there. So, yeah, I can definitely see something like a Cook Island style. around that timeline, but.
Hey, that's jumped up a lot. I would say Australian Survivor Season 1 was still probably at that sort of 7 or 8. That sort of just before All-Stars, just getting into All-Stars, maybe just after All-Stars sort of thing. So, yeah. UK Survivor, good on you. You're stepping it up. You're starting it up. Okay.
That's the thing. We have to remember that this is the first season, and it's never going to be season 45 straight away. It has to evolve and grow for the fan base in the UK who are watching it for the first time. If it started at 45, could you imagine them watching US 45 right now?
They wouldn't watch it.
They wouldn't know what's happening, which is not what you want. You want your fans to grow with the show and understand it and understand why people make the decisions they do. So yeah, you need like a base knowledge underneath that for it to go into that direction. So it is a little bit slow, but I think if it give it another 2 or 3 seasons and it will turn into similar to what Australian Survivor has just produced pretty quickly, I do think.
Yeah, sweet. Sounds good. Let's hope for the best. Just give us a season 2. I hope this week is just giving us a season 2. That's all I'm hoping.
The first few weeks
definitely we were definitely worried.
Yeah, it was a struggle. Yeah. But this season, this week has breathed new life into it and really made me, sit up and watch it properly.
Yeah, I'm glad. Hopefully our podcasting is a little bit better. All right, talking about our previous podcast, did we want to hear what we thought would happen this week? Because I think I like what I said.
Let's have a look at this segment we like to call...
Previously on Survivor.
I'm genuinely thinking we see Doug go. I feel like Chris is going to go back after this vote and explode and tell everyone, they told me to vote Nathan. They told me to vote Nathan. Nathan's a huge threat. And I think the backlash could end up on Doug because Nathan is Doug's sort of go-to. And then Christopher can join him. I think they get rid of the big threats. I think the Caliton players will play smart.
Well, not horrible. I mean, you got the Doug. I mean, the reasoning behind it was well off.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter about the little itty bitty crap. I got the right answer, and Doug went home.
That is right.
Chris did not go home. Chris is actually probably gaining strength in the game now. So, yeah, I was wrong there.
We're certainly rising off the bottom. So it's going to be interesting, obviously going forward. Let's have a look at what I said.
Yeah, I can see something similar. I think Doug will be okay. I don't think Doug will go home. I think Chris is probably like the obvious next target. So I'm going to say that the two that will go home over the week, I'm not sure which order, but Hannah and then Chris.
Yeah, that wasn't good. That was a bit off.
That was so far off,
it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, not my best week. Can't win them all.
Well, what do you think? What's next week on Survivor?
Next time on Survivor.
I'll tell you what, it's a tough one. Honestly, this has blown the game open. Is Matthew on the bottom now? Is Chris still the big target? Are Nathan and Alani on the bottom now? This is the question. I think that... I can see Lawrence going back to Nathan Leilani, and I can see Matt going back there. I don't know why. I think Chris goes home next week, probably the second episode. And the first person off, let's go Nathan. Nathan first, Chris second. I have no reason behind it because this is up in the air. So that's my pick. Right,
I'm going... Nathan or Leilani goes next, depending on where the fallout is. Who can handle it the most? I feel like both of them are going to be quite upset with Matthew. And whoever is the most explosive, we're saying both of them be a little bit explosive, mostly Leilani. She loves to call people out. So that nails it. I'm going Leilani, gets voted out next, and then I couldn't even tell you because I do think you are a little bit right that Calaton's not completely out of this yet. They're definitely not out of it. I think Matthew has definitely closer bonds. I'm going to Chris. Yep, let's go Chris. Huh? Let's go Leilani, then Chris.
How can he survive again? That's the thing. How can he stay, you know, he's on such the bottom rung. And I know he's just come up a little bit, but no one trusts him still. And he made this move and he's such a big threat. Like, he has to go home.
But, well, actually, no. Let's actually talk about this very quickly for a second. Who else is a fan of this game? No one. We got Pegleg and Hannah, the two least fan-ish people, like game players. We got Matthew, who is a good game player now, but he didn't start the season as a good game player. And we got Nathan and Leilani, who have never watched the show in their lives and probably never will. This could genuinely be like Chris just puts them all to shame and just manipulates them against each other for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I do think they respect him in terms of in game if he gets there. But then again, will they? Like Lee won't vote for him. And, you know, if Tanuka's not going to be with him, then I guess all the Calaton will follow her lead. So maybe him getting the end, even if he plays a good game, is not going to be enough for these people.
That's it. All right, let's.
Reassess that if he's there.
Hopefully we don't have to look. All right, let's give Doug and Tanuka the eulogy. And I think I'm going to start with, will they return? I think these two have the biggest promise to return. These two are two of the biggest players of this season. Two of the three. So, like, if we see returnee season, say season 5, I see at least one of these two on it. Not sure which one, but at least one of these two.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think more Tanuka than Doug. I think Doug was maybe a better game player, but I think Tanuka was easily the better character and even a game player too. Like she had an aura about her.
I want to talk about Doug as a player. I'm actually not too like crash hot on him as a player now. He made a lot of bad moves. Just because he's a fan doesn't mean he's a good player. He got, like, I loved his theories. There was definitely some work involved. Like, I love how he went over to the swap tribe at Calaton and just sort of handles that mess for the first vote out, getting Jess out. But then, yeah, I'm actually, as a player, not the greatest, I guess, just because he was a fan. As a character... Yeah, it was all right. Nothing special, nothing amazing. There was some good content there. There was definitely some good stuff. All right, hit me.
Yeah, shocking to me you think he wasn't that great a player because, like, he literally is sitting second on the buff leaderboard. He goes into the tribe swap, 2 out of 4, and comes out having split both pairs up, and him and Peg remaining.
I don't think that's the right move. Anyway, keep going.
He saved himself, and he done it really well. He found an idol. He had everyone in his tribe loving him before the swap. At the merge, he gets given immunity because he's so likable. Like he was a good player, arguably the best player in the season. As a character, less so. As much as I didn't mind him, he wasn't that excitable in a confessional or anything. But I thought his gameplay was very high, and that's the reason he's so high on the buff leaderboard because he was a good player. He had many good episodes, and he's a good shot.
He knew the game. Just because you know the game and you're a fan of the game doesn't make you an amazing player. I'm not saying he's a bad player. I'm just saying I'm not actually that high on his overall game. There were definitely things that I think he could have done better. Splitting, like as you said, splitting that tribe up, I'm still very much against that. I think he should have gone into the swap, into the merge with Lawrence and Shire. I think he played a lot better than a lot of other players on this season, but because he actually had some strategy, but the overall result was not good. He let his old Lenenins without sort of fixing it all, which he had the social capital to do, to fix it. Instead of fixing it all, he votes wrong last tribal, then he votes Ash out, and then he gets voted out himself. Overall, I'm not that high on his gameplay. I'm higher on Tanuke's gameplay. Tanuke smashed it. She gets a dominant alliance and she gets voted out because she's the top. And because she is so smart and she will win this game.
Yeah, look, whether or not you agree with the decision to keep Lawrence and Nathan in the game and not go into merge with a pair is irrelevant. The fact that he could do it and he had the option to do what he wanted when he's in a minority of a six-person tribe is fantastic.
It's a very good, social game, not great strategic game. Very, very good social game, not a great strategic game.
That's very results orientated, knowing what happens to him. But like, you have to remember, like we said a minute ago, could he have done anything to save himself?
Probably not.
Because he was playing so well.
But he put himself in this position.
I think you're a bit low on him.
He put himself in this position.
All I'm going to do, I'm going to point you to the buff leaderboard. And where is he sitting right now?
Second? Yeah, and who's on?
I think he's
second. He's third. No, Christopher's second. Yeah, so as of last week, Tanuke's on 5, Christopher's on 4, Doug's on 3. And chances are I probably gave him 2 of those buffs. I'm not saying that exactly. He's completely bad. I'm just not as high on him as I was possibly have been in the last few weeks. Just like looking back at an overall picture, and yes, hindsight is 20/20. I'm not actually as high on his strategy. He failed to see some key things and he suffered. Anyway, that's a memorable moments for me. Like, I don't know. I got no memory. He went to Calaton.
Well, I think.
Beating Nathan.
Well, that was Nathan a huge thing. Where he
wrestling challenge.
Yeah, that's beating Nathan in the challenges was my one. Yeah. Several times, I think. He beat him in a few challenges. Tell me about Tanuke.
As a character, definitely got a little bit powerful at the end. But yeah, I loved her character. I loved her gameplay. She picked up the game very, very fast, got herself into a powerful position in the Calaton tribe, which had not many game players. I think she did really, really well, and she just got unlucky in this circumstance with that Matthew was able to flip, that Chris was able to flip Matthew. I think she did very, very well, and she played a perfect season one game. Well, not perfect because she got voted out, but a good season one game because she didn't win, so not perfect. A non-fan game. Good on her.
Yeah. As a character, yeah, I thought she was really good. You could see she's getting more confident the longer the game went on. Her confessionals were improving. She was adding a bit more spice to them. She was getting really sassy and, a little bit arrogant.
Definitely
some
arrogance. But anyway.
gameplay was good. She was head of the alliance, which is not always the best spot to be, but I think in a new player season, it's not the worst spot.
Lee Castledon.
She's got this alpha female personality, which... people love to get behind. It's good to watch. And, good player. I think, she probably will return one day. And memorable moment for me.
I'm giving her little video from home where she's on the roller skates and she's just flipping around in those fun colours.
Roller skates.
Like her little video from home. I thought that was really fun. That's definitely memorable for me.
What do you remember about her Survivor game?
she was at home doing her presentation video. Let's get to the buffs, okay? Let's get to the buffs. I'm giving... So, Buckle's buff of the episode for episode 11. I'm doing a Shy, and I'm giving Tanuke the buff for the episode. She had full control of this vote. She got out... probably the biggest target. And I say probably, very loosely. The biggest target in Doug, who she thought was the biggest target. I think in hindsight it might be a bit different, but yeah, I'm giving it to Sanuke because I don't see anyone else on the Kalaton having any involvement in this move. She pretty much led it from the start. She tells Nathan, she doesn't talk to Nathan about it. She then tells Matthew, she then tells Leilani, and then tells Lawrence at the last minute. She had full control of this. Good on her.
Yeah, I've also gone to Nuke. I think she had a great episode. I think, like you said, telling Lawrence at the last minute because you know that he might be a bit iffy about it was good. Everything you said was, yeah, exactly what it is, including she won reward and immunity. Like, she did everything right in that episode. You know, went over the top of a plan with another plan, got out someone she wanted to get out. Yeah, great move. Great episode.
Yeah. Sanuke gets it. Two remembrance buffs for Sanuke. Good on her. Good on her. Well done. Okay, now.
Well, she deserves him, yeah.
I was confused before we started this podcast where I was going to put this episode 12 buff. Now I'm even more confused. Because I think I'm going to have to give this to Christopher. I'm going to have to. I think Lawrence. So it's Lawrence, Matthew, or Christopher. That's what I'm seeing. It's these three. That's where my options are. Matthew, there's other outs. I think it's a good move, but it's not a great move. He definitely cops heat next week. So that's points to Lawrence. I think he definitely had outs to win the game both directions. And the more we talked about it, the better the move. I think I came into this episode high and then low on the move, and now I'm sort of a bit higher, but I'm still not high enough to give him my buff. Lawrence, I don't respect this coach throw a random vote, so I'm not voting you out, attempted jury management. But it is, he's the smartest person to have this move happen out of the Kalaton people. So he definitely gets points there. Christopher was going home. He flipped it. I'm not going to say that Peg and Hannah flipped it. It was Christopher that flipped it. I'm giving it to Chris. I've got to give it to Chris. Christopher gets it.
Yeah, I was in two minds. It was Chris or Matthews for me. I didn't have Lawrence in my top few, or in my top two at least. Look, I'm going to go. I was thinking Chris, and now I'm probably more leaning towards Matthew. So I'm going to give it to Matthew. I think just the biggest reason, all overarching reason, is the fact that he's the one that flips. He's the one that makes this season better to watch from here on out. He improves the whole season on one move in one episode. If he doesn't do this and Chris gets voted out...
It's fucked.
We're not enjoying
it. No, I completely agree with that. That doesn't make it the right move.
No, it does. Because I give out buffs for, you know, it doesn't have to be game reasons. It can be enjoyment purposes. And Matthew's ticked that box this week. And he's made this game something worth watching from here on out.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
I'll give that to you. Obviously a great episode. I was going to vote for Chris, but, you know, all I did was convince Matthew to flip. But Matthew had to still do that. And against every best strategy he could think of, he's probably gone the wrong way, but it's made for a much better season. So
I'm
Matthew
still not 100% sure he's gone the wrong way, but he definitely... this is so situational. I think I could talk about that for a long time. There we go. So we got Matt. Okay. We lose Rachel on one. Matthew jumps up to with Nathan and Shy and Lawrence on two. Obviously, we lost Shy. Doug, we lost on three, who's still in third place. Christopher jumps up to five, who's in second. And we lose Tanuke on seven, who is our first place winner so far.
Wow. Seven buffs in six in podcasts.
Six podcasts. That's pretty good. So that's she's gotten over a quarter of all the buffs. So there you go. That's hectic. Okay. Anyway. What do you got going on, Mac?
What do I have going on? That's a very good question. US Survivor tomorrow night. We'll watch that. We'll pod about that and have that out over the weekend. And really not much else going on this weekend. Really hot, and hopefully get some swimming in to cool off. Yeah,
what about you? I've got a big bash game with Byron Lee, so that'll be good. Go watch Steve Smith play Magic. I'm very excited. The Sixers versus the Renegades at Sydney Cricket Ground. I've got a lot of work. We're getting to the end of the year. A lot of podcasts and a lot of work. So get everything ready to take some time off and head to Europe in the next few weeks. So very excited for that. Yeah. All right, guys, if you got us this far, hit us up on Facebook at Survivor Buffs Blindsides and Band to get us on Instagram, Survivor_3BS. Survivor on Twitter, get us on Twitter at Survivor3BS. I've been Buckles. He's been Mac. I can't talk. You've been awesome. See you guys. Bye.
See you, Buckles. Have a good one.
Is this Survivor? What? Are you listening to Survivor? Guys, I think this is Survivor. Dude, you must really like Survivor.